So we have had just a really great sense of what it means as Pastor Danny has challenged us to make it personal for ourselves and led us through a bunch of places. But before we would start, it's been kind of a unique situation. And Danny and Deborah have come to us and they've been with us for so long. And now there's a kind of a new chapter in their life, whatever that is. And so we thought we'd love to pray for you guys. Debs, do you want to come up, Danny? And Lisa, Derek, where's Andrew? There he is. We just want to surround these guys. Why don't you just reach out your hands for them? Come on over here. Why don't you just reach out your hands for them? We want to pray for these guys and just bless them. And God knows everything in the future. And that's really good. Because, you know, sometimes we don't know. And as we reach out our hand toward these guys, we can join with them and just anticipating what God has for them and knowing that it's going to be good, because that's all that God has is good things for them in the future. And so, Lord, as we surround them, as we reach our hands out to them, we thank you that we do exactly what those words said, that we just fall into your grace. And Lord, that may seem, even as Pastor Danny has talked about, it may seem sort of fearful at some point, but then we look into the eyes of our Father. And we know, you know what, this is good. He has good things. I pray for Danny and Deb. I thank you so much for them. Thank you for the deposit that Danny has given us this week, that this is fruit that will last, that will come. We thank you, Lord, for their future and that your hand is upon them. And we're excited for them in what you have and in the way that you're going to bring it about in Jesus' name. And if you agree, I want to hear an amen. 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 All right. Thanks, guys. All right, Danny.
All right, last session of camp. A little bit sad. Things have come to an end, but here we are. I look around the room, much smaller group. I see we've shed some of the lightweights, and we have the hardcore remaining. So I'm glad that you're with us. Just let me explain why my face looks like this. I'm exhausted, and that's why the bags are there. My kids, I love having kids, and I don't just mean the making them part. I mean that's fun too, but my kids, they were up till midnight last night. I don't think they've ever been up to midnight in their respective 7, 9, and 11 years that they've been alive. Anybody else exhausted here with me? Are we in good company? Yeah, a few exhausted people. But you know, bringing the kids to camp, it's such a great thing. It's so good to see them encountering the love of God. It's so good to see them in just experiencing the presence of what God is doing and, of course, what they're learning in Kids Rock as well. That's really quite amazing. So kudos to you parents who are exhausted because it's taken so much work to come here. It's a deposit that you're making in their lives that will reap huge dividends. So it's a good job for you guys. I'm so excited to share with you here. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to Book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 20. Chapter 20, Book of Matthew. This is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. There's 16 verses, so I'm going to truck through it as quickly but as clearly as I can so I don't lose you. If your neighbor falls asleep, just give him an elbow for me. Keep him awake. It'll be up on your screens as well. This is in response to a phrase that Jesus used. And he used the phrase, the first will be last and the last will be first. I mean, that's a riddle right there. The first will be last, the last will be first. What does that mean? And Jesus had a way of framing what we know to be our current worldview and flipping it on its head to say, actually, I want to show you something different here. And so in response to that, his disciples must have looked at him really confused because he says, okay, it's like this. And he uses a classic Jesus method, a parable of the day that they would have understood to explain. So this is the parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. A denarius a day, by the way, is a good day's wage. That's not a low wage. It's not, you know, ridiculously high. It's a good, generous, solid day's wage. So he's paying quite fairly here. And at about the third hour, so this would have been 9 a.m. So 6 a.m. with the first, the third would be 9 a.m. He went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you go also work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, So it would have been about noon. And then again, the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. Now, take note of this. The 11th hour, that means that there's probably only about 1 hour left to work in the day. 1 hour left. So the 11th hour workers, keep that in mind. He says to them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And they say, "Well, because nobody's hired us," they answered. He said, "Well, you go also work in my vineyard." And they said, okay. They just went. They didn't negotiate any sort of contract. They didn't ask for the payment. They didn't ask what they would be paid. They just took the opportunity and said, okay, and they go into the vineyard. So you get that part, right? That's the hiring. But listen closely here. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning," listen closely, "with the last ones hired first." So the 11th hour workers, "beginning with the last ones hired first," and then go the other way, which is really a weird way to pay. Typically, they would have paid the first guys first and they go about their way, and then they would have been in a descending order. It's an unusual way to hand out the wages. So call the workers, pay them the wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Now listen closely. The workers who were hired about 5 p.m., that's the 11th hour, they came and they each received a denarius. So catch this. The ones that did 1 hour, the 11th hour worker, they received a full generous day's wage. It's important. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last, they worked only 1 hour." Like the landowner doesn't know this. They said, and "you have made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But listen to how he answered to them. He said, "Friend," he's not hostile. He said, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? So take your pay and go. I want to give the man who hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last." By the way, just as a side note, you know how it may have appeared like I was crying the last few nights? I figured it out. It was the chlorine from the swimming pool. So if it happens today, we know why. So the title of my message this morning is "You Are Last." You feeling encouraged? You are last. Let's pray together, church. Oh, God, help us. We are tired. We are exhausted. We are excited about what you are doing. You have given us so much to pray into and meditate on and chew on. And I pray, God, that you would help us retain that. Pray, God, that you would continue to stir our hearts. I pray, God, for those of us that are resisting you, I pray that we would just yield to your love. That we would yield to the Father's love. God, I pray that you would help me to communicate the truths of your word in a clear way. In your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. So, there's this guy by the name of Doug Cook. I don't know, does anybody know that name, Doug Cook, at all? Well, he's famous, well, semi-famous, and he's famous because he did something quite marvelous, and it's in the newspaper. He has gained considerable fame in the newspaper, in the social media. People want to reach out to this guy. They want to know his story. He's become a bit of a celebrity. And the reason he's become a bit of a celebrity in Manitoba, doesn't go very far, but in Manitoba, he's a celebrity because he built a ship in his backyard, like a pirate ship in his backyard. Maybe you've seen it or heard of it. And so I'm watching this story unfold, and I'm thinking, I'm going to read this story. So I read the story. And so he goes on and he brags about how he has all these diagrams and he brags about how many screws he used and he brags about how great it is. And he brags about all these people that are driving by, stopping, coming to take a picture and interviewing him. Now, for an extrovert like myself, I wouldn't mind a slice of that pie. If somebody wanted to come and interview me and hear my story, I'm all happy to do that. And so this guy, Doug Cook, he's receiving all the fame. I even have a picture. You can throw it up here. There's a picture of Doug Cook's ship right here. Making a splash in Charleswood. Big deal. Look at him. All smug there like he's the only guy that's ever done this. And frankly, it's not that great of a ship, if I'm honest. Like, it's okay, but it's pretty bland looking to me. I don't see any accessories on that. It's pretty lame. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, you know, this is not right. This is not fair. And do you know why I was thinking this is not fair? Because I built a pirate ship in my backyard. Now, hold on. Don't put the picture up yet. This is what Doug Cook says. He says, I searched, I Googled, I looked all over the internet, and there was nobody in Manitoba that built a ship. So I built one. I'm like, dude, I built one years ago, but no one's knocking on my door. No one's interviewing me. Nobody wants to hear my backstory. And let me just show you what my ship looked like. Take a look at this. This is phenomenal. Can we just take a minute? Yeah, you can do a round of applause, yeah. I mean, finally, some recognition for what I've accomplished here. I mean, just take a second to marvel at the fine European craftsmanship. We have slides coming off both ends. We have a swing set. We have this crow's nest that you can climb up into. You got Pastor Keith there attaching balloons for my daughter's birthday, his granddaughter's birthday. I mean, that's a beautiful ship. I mean, can we give that another round of applause? Can we? Yeah. Finally, some recognition. Of course, I don't need it because I'm very humble. But I was thinking, this isn't right. This isn't right that this Doug Cook's getting all the spotlight. It just didn't seem very fair to me. And I'm wondering, have you ever been in a situation where you say, this isn't fair? This isn't right. Maybe you've prayed for something for so long and you've sought the Lord for deliverance for something for so long and you don't see that coming to pass. You don't see the hand of God on that situation and you say, that's not fair. Maybe you've been seeking God to get out of a financial situation or you've been seeking God for something in your heart that you're wrestling with and it seems like he's not stepping into your life and you say, God, it's not fair. Maybe you said those words to God, this isn't right. And you look at other people's lives and you see what God is doing in their lives and you compare. You say, well, I don't think they're attending church as much as I am because I'm there every week and she ain't there. Or maybe you know their financial situation and you're like, they should be tithing a lot more. They don't seem to be tithing. We do this as human beings. We judge. We ought not, but we do. Or maybe you're familiar with their lifestyle and you see the sorts of things they get up to and you say, I don't do any of those things, Lord. Yet I see God's hand of blessing on their life and seemingly a lack of blessing on my life. And as a pastor, I know that we do this. I know that we do this. I've heard this over the years, pastor. I've heard this so many times where people say, I've done this and I've done this and God did nothing and God didn't do this. And I remember when my dad passed away, my biological father, it was 6 years ago, I was talking to my mom and she says, God, he's a bad guy in my books. I'm done with him. And I'll tell you why. Because I prayed for your father. I anointed him with oil. I fasted. I sought the Lord. I did everything I could in my own power to ensure that my husband would be healed from cancer. And I got everyone around the world who I knew to pray and fast and seek the Lord. And God did nothing. And so therefore, I'm done. And maybe you've heard those phrases. Maybe you've said those phrases. But I want to show you something from this story because Jesus is trying to communicate something to us through this parable about the way his kingdom works. Don't miss that. Jesus is saying, listen, in my kingdom, not the earthly kingdom, in my kingdom, the first will be last and the last will be first. We're like, well, what does that mean? And he explains to us how his kingdom works based off this parable. And what he does is he talks about these two groups of people. So think about these people. He references, in the payment scheme, he references only the first and the last. That's kind of his point. The first will be last. Now, the first hour workers, they were the 6 a.m. group. So what does that tell you about the 6 a.m. group? First of all, it tells you they're eager beavers. They are up early. They would have been there actually before 6 a.m. because when the landowner got there to look for them, they were already there. So prior to 6 a.m., they are there. Now, the landowner offers them a good day's wage. So they're obviously capable men or women. I don't know. They're just workers. It's not the point of the story. They're obviously capable people because they are worth the denarius that's being paid, the denarius that's being offered. They are obviously people that have been snapped up before and hired before because the worker makes no hesitation. He just says, come, come, quick. These are capable, wanted, able people. Now, conversely, who were the last hour workers? I mean, I'm thinking they're the guys that are sitting back, chewing on a bit of corn, you know, whatever. If I work, I work. Doesn't matter. Now, let me ask you this. I'm not convinced that they were like that by default. I don't think that was just their nature. What I think is it was probably a series of being rejected, of being overlooked, of failing and being punished in a harsh way. I think that they probably just had no expectation. I think they had a low self-worth where they would say, look, I got nothing to offer anyway. Nobody ever hires me. I sit out here all day long, right up until the end, and then I go home and nobody hires me. I'm kind of the outcast, if you will. And if you think about these last hour workers, they were the outcast, you know, reprobates of society. They were the ones that could not do it. They were the ones, maybe they lied, maybe they cheated, maybe they stole, I don't know. But society did not want them. They were outcast. So just think about that for a minute. Then it comes time for the payment. This is a fascinating way to pay. Clearly, Jesus is trying to communicate something about the kingdom when he describes how the landowner parades the last hour workers in front of everybody else. He says to the foreman, call everyone, call all the workers in because it is payment time and I want to see how I pay people. And so he lines up all the people there that came in for the last hour, the 11th hour workers, and he starts paying them. And it's like, okay, you guys watching this? Watch this. Here is a denarius. Imagine their joy and delight. They're like, say what? Full day's wage? I only did an hour. That's a pretty sweet deal. But then imagine the first hour workers. Just imagine for yourself. Imagine for yourself, if you were in this story, what would you be thinking? I mean, I'd be thinking, first of all, could you imagine how much I'm going to get? I mean, I was there pre-6 a.m., and I worked hard. I'm going to get 6-7 times this for sure. And so they're like, okay, payment time. Let's see it. We agreed a denarius. Whoa, hey, whoa, stop. A denarius? Are you kidding me? You see what happened with these last hours? We were the first. These guys are last. You give them a denarius? No. You don't give me a denarius. You pay me 6-7 times that. And what happens is this dissatisfaction sets in their hearts, even though, don't miss this, even though they agreed at the front to get a denarius for their day's wage. So you know what they've done? They have compared what they got to what somebody else got and have declared this is not right. I mean, seriously, if you put yourself in that shoes, you'd be pretty ticked too. If that was me, if that was a literal story, and I was like working in a concrete company or something, and I was there at 5 a.m. and, you know, digging gravel and pouring concrete, and I borne the heat of the day, and I worked all day long, and my hands were all dry and cracked, and my fingers were sore, my back was sore, my feet were sore, and I find that, hold on, I'm only getting paid the same as the guys that strolled in for the last hour, which frankly didn't do much when they were here because they're not capable people, I would be upset. And if you were to ask yourself, and I don't mean in a theoretic way, like seriously, ask yourself, what would your response be? You'd probably be upset too. And you might even say, this is a righteous anger. It's okay to have that. You'd be upset. I would at least contact human resources, and we don't see that in the story. Maybe that's in the next chapter, but I'd be a little bit ticked too. And if you were to ask yourself, why does this not seem right to you? Why does it seem offensive? Why does it seem not okay? Why does it seem, hey, what about me? Why does it seem wrong? And I believe it's because we identify As the first hour workers, we say we go to church, we tithe, we give of our volunteer hours, we abstain from sin as best we can, we do our best to do all the right things. And so therefore, the equation should equal this blessing from God and this blessing from God. And what happens is we get into this comparison game where we start to declare the goodness of God based on what we're receiving, based on, don't miss this, what we believe we deserve. And I had breakfast with a guy in our church, and he sat across, and as we're eating the pancakes, he said, I got to tell you, I am so excited for the coming year. I said, why? He goes, because the Lord is going to bless me like crazy. I said, wow, tell me more. He goes, well, the Lord's going to use me to heal people in a divine way. He's going to open my finances. He's going to bless my ministry. He's going to open up opportunities so I can be more influential. He's going to bless my life and my health. I just know it. It's going to be a fantastic year. I said, wow, that's some faith you have. Why do you feel this way? And his response shocked me. He goes, because I've been putting in my time. I've been tithing more. I've been volunteering more. I've been serving God more. I've been reading my Bible more. I said to him, it's chlorine. Darn chlorine. I said to him, you know what you have? You have a transactional faith. You have a transactional walk with God where you say, I put in this, this, and this, and the outcome needs to be this, this, and this. You have a transactional walk with God. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your walk is with God. But if you've said those, statements, these God should have statements, where you say, God should have done this. He should have done that. He ought to have done this. Why hasn't he done this? If you say those statements, you have a transactional faith. You have a transactional walk with God. I'm telling you right now, you don't want that. You don't want to get what you deserve. I know I don't. I know that if I was given what I truly deserve, it would be nothing good. It would be nothing good. I don't want to get what I deserve. I don't want to declare what I ought to have. I want the vineyard owner to give me what he sees fit. Because if I get what I deserve, it's nothing good. And I want to challenge you this morning. Where are you at in this story? Do you identify with the first hour worker? Or do you identify with the last hour worker? Because if you identify with the first hour worker, you're kind of in trouble. And I'll tell you why. Because you are last. You say, wow, Pastor Danny, that's not very encouraging. Let me tell you why it's encouraging. It is encouraging. Because who in this story is this a problem for? Like when payment comes and you have the first and the last, who has an issue with the payment scheme? It's not the last group. They're skipping to the bank, waving their check. They don't have a problem with it. The people that have a problem with it, they're the first hour workers. And the reason they have a problem is because they were able to fulfill what is expected of them. They showed up early. They worked hard. They did everything that they said they were going to do. They fulfilled the requirement of them. And can I just tell you, not a single person in this room can ever accomplish that. Because every one of us is a sinner and we have fallen. Every one of us. And so if you cling to this hope that I'm going to get what I deserve, you're in trouble. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my heart. Know that that is doused in my love for you, that you are in trouble. And my hope this morning is that I would get you to take your eyes off this claim that you are the first hour worker and that you would look to say, actually, no, I am the last hour worker. And I know that for me, I absolutely am the last hour worker. And I know that because I cannot keep the law. I am so desperately in love with God, but I cannot keep the law. I cannot do what is required of me. I mess up again and again and again, and I tell myself I'm never going to do that again. And frankly, I'm embarrassed at the things I struggle with today, but all it does is it shows me who I am, that I am a broken, lost sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And so I am the last hour worker. And if you were to put yourself in this story, if you were to make this very personal, you would have to ask yourself, what is the gospel? Because Jesus is communicating this truth. And I'll tell you what the gospel is not. The gospel is not forgiveness in exchange for church attendance. It's not being sanctified in exchange for tithing. It's not healing in exchange for reading the word. That's a transactional faith that always leads to death. The hope of the gospel is not found in what you can do. The hope in the gospel is that even though you fail again and again and again, you are the last hour worker. The vineyard owner comes along and he restores everything and makes possible what was not possible. And it's this incredible story where God says, listen, no, look at the kingdom here. Look at my kingdom. This is how it works. It's not based on performance. It's based on position, not because of anything that you have done, but because of the benevolence of the giver of all good gifts. And if you were to place yourself in this story in a literal way, so imagine this, that you, let's say you accept, okay, yeah, I'm the last hour worker. What does that mean for me? So you are there, you are outside the walls, and you're sitting there with no hope and no vision, and you're completely lost, and you can't do it. And you have this revelation of exactly where you are, that you are broken, that you are lost, that you can't fulfill the laws. And people walk past you, and they overlook you, and they shun you, and they say, look at this pathetic loser. He can't do anything. Look at this clown. Look at this reprobate. Give him a kick. You're a loser. Why would you even try? And you say, yeah, I am. That's why nobody hires me. So you don't even have an expectation that there's any hope for your life. And you're in this place where you can't stand what's going on in your heart, because you say, well, I don't know what to do with this. Yes, I can't do it. I got nothing to offer. And you look at those people that are working in the vineyard and you say, I want to be there. I want to be used by God to walk in the fullness of the plans that he has for me. I want to be there. And you're looking at it from far away because you are outside the wall. And you say, I can never compare to those people. I can't pray as well as them. I'm not gifted like they are. I'm not disciplined like they are. I can never do what is required of me. So I'm just out here stuck outside this wall the whole time. I got no hope. I got no vision. I cannot do it. And the landowner, he comes along and he says, no, you've completely missed it. He says, I want you. He says, come to me, get in my vineyard. Come to me, I'll give you hope. Come to me, I'll give you a vision. Come to me, I'll give you peace. And we say, okay, I have nothing to offer. But the landowner says, I am the one who decides what you get. And I want to stir you this morning to say, don't think that you have anything to offer the Lord. And if you disagree with me, let me just say this. The wages of sin is death. Now, by show of hands, how many people in here have never sinned? Put your hand down, Cam. I know that's not true. Come on. We've all sinned. Why? Because it's part of our nature. We are plagued with a sin nature. It's who we are. We can't get away from it. And the landowner comes along and he says, no, I want you in my vineyard. I will pay you what you don't deserve. And the hope of the gospel, it's not based on what you do in your performance. That's a transactional faith that always leads to death. The hope of the gospel is that you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are free, not because of your own merit, but because of the benevolence of the giver who gives all good gifts. And I just want to pray for you before we end tonight. If I could just ask you to stand, I want to just take some time here just for you to reflect for a minute. And I think that if you could just open your hearts, I want to pray that God would show you where you're at. This is between you and the Lord. But I just want to pray that God would show you where you're at. The first hour worker or the last hour worker. You can take your pick. If you pick the wrong one, God will correct you. Don't worry. But the point here is that whole theme that we've been talking about all week about surrendering. You know, being honest, not faking it. Accepting what God is doing. This is for you and your personal walk. And I really truly hope you don't leave this camp without any change that goes on in your heart, because as the Lord, his love, as we encounter that, that it ought to change who we are. So let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you are here with us. God, I thank you that your word speaks life to us. It doesn't curse us. It doesn't speak death, but it speaks life to us. And I thank you, God, that even this very phrase, you are last, that we may struggle to accept, it's there so that it speaks life, not death. And God, I thank you for that life. I pray for all of us here this morning. I pray that as we reflect on this, that you would reveal to us the depths of our hearts, that we're not concerned what other people think, but God, that you would speak to our hearts. And God, if we believe we are the first hour workers, where we got this and we don't need you and we don't need your generosity, we don't need your grace, we don't need your mercy. God, if there's somebody here this morning, I pray you would speak to them. That you, in this gentle way that only you can do, that you would just overwhelm them with your love. And God, for those of us here that acknowledge we got nothing, we can't do it. God, I pray you would encourage those individuals. Pray that you would lift them up, and again, in only the way that you can. And just the last thing I want to pray for us before I hand it back to Pastor Aubrey is this. Keep your eyes closed, guys, but I want to pray for those of us here this morning that may not know the Lord. You say, well, it's Christian camp. Well, hey, I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know how you live your life. I don't know how you pray to God, if you pray to God. But I want to take some time here to say the Lord sees you and he loves you. Don't resist his great love for you. And if you are here this morning and you say, I can't say with all honesty that the Lord, he is Lord of my life. I have not thanked Jesus for dying on the cross. I don't serve him. I don't love him. I don't seek him. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, don't resist what he's doing. And just, you don't have to pray out loud, but just pray this in your heart. Jesus, I thank you that you died for my sins. Jesus, I thank you that you've forgiven me, that there is grace and there is mercy. I thank you for those gifts. I pray that you would help me to turn from my sin as I repent. I pray that you would help me to turn from it. Give me the strength to do what I'm asking you to do. And I pray, Jesus, that I would feel that forgiveness and that grace and that mercy. I pray you would take away all guilt, all shame, all condemnation. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. You know, guys, I believe there's some people here this morning that have said that prayer for the first time. Or maybe they have in the past and they've come back to God and they want to get back in that vineyard and work for the landowner. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to go find a leader or Pastor Aubrey or someone that you know who is a leader and just say, hey, what's next? I want to start this journey of discipleship. You don't just say a prayer and then pretend it never happened. Now you have this amazing relationship with the Lord that we need to learn and grow and seek him. And that's called discipleship. And so for those people that for the very first time are in the kingdom, can we just give God a big hand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Hey, why don't we just thank the Lord for all the deposit that we got this week? Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Good stuff, Danny. We so appreciate that. I hope that you can just leave today full. You heard this over the last, for those of you who've been here 4 days, it's personal for you. God's got you. He loves you. He's constantly in the business of making you exactly who he wants you to be. So friends, leave with a great joy in your heart. God bless you. And thanks so much for joining us at camp. Take care.